We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Well, the big news story of the day clearly is going to be what's happening in the Middle East here. Well, Jerusalem is now the embassy home of the United States. Very controversial, of course. Donald Trump made a position on this, took a position that many presidents took, actually, over many, many years, to move the embassy to Jerusalem. The only difference this time, friends, is he acted out on it. That is the difference. There are a lot of moving pieces going on in Israel right now in the Middle East, the Jerusalem embassy being just one of them. But it gets real complicated from that standpoint. There are a lot of pieces that have fallen into play today. This is the Independence Day of Israel, and it was coordinated with that because of the significance of that date. Many people have spoken out against this. European allies have, and others have. Turkey came out and said some pretty strong things today. You've got here 52 Palestinians killed and rising. You've got over 900 injured that we know of. It could be in the thousands, friends. These are some of the reports coming out of Gaza at this point. However, is this really a surprise to anybody? We've been reporting on this. We've been talking about this story for some time. We knew it was going to come to this. Yeah. I mean, and so while people are blaming the president or blaming others for the embassy move, that is really not the story here. That is not the story at all. It's a side story. The biggest story is, why does Hamas, why does this terrorist group use these people in such a way as human shields? That is really the biggest story. And, you know, in order to have peace, if we're going to have peace, Dr. Ron, we've got to have, let me explain to people how peace works. You see, in order to have peace, you've got to have two willing parties. And you've got to bring those two parties together to really talk about what that peace looks like. It doesn't happen just with one side. And if you're going to put your people out there on the front lines to be killed, murdered, then what does that tell you about peace? And what does that tell you about the sanctity of life? I think it raises a lot of questions, but this is typically how they work. Ron, what's your thoughts on this as these developments are happening out there?
Well, you know, Malcolm, I'm glad that you mentioned that these distractions are merely a sideshow, and I think you put your finger right on what I also agree is what the problem is there, and that is the humanity or the lack of humanity with the adversaries of the Israelis, of the Jews. And, you know, today we saw, or actually yesterday, because, you know, they're several hours ahead of us, right? We saw a father and a mother turn their four children into suicide bombers, okay, and blew up a couple of areas there in protest, killing some people. That completely has to stop. You know, 1,000 years before Muhammad was even born, mm-hmm. the king in that region called Jerusalem the capital of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, 1,000 years before Muhammad.
Right.
And so this, of course, has been changed around ever since that time. And the Israelis, just like the Americans, just like the Germans, just like the Syrians, just like everyone else, deserves a homeland, deserves a country. And that country was given to them 70 years ago, because this, like you said, is the anniversary date. And I'm very happy that President Donald Trump kept his promise instead of kicking the can down the road like the other presidents had done.
Well, that's exactly it. And we see this time and time again. This is, again, people are forgetting how many presidents have promised this. This has been, in fact, it goes all the way back to the 90s when we said we were going to make this move and move the embassy. But that is, like I say, it's not even really the story today. The story is the bloodshed. It really is. What this does is this puts a magnifying glass on a problem. And the problem is right there at Gaza, at the Israeli border. That's where the problem is. This, you know, if you've been following this story, the March of Return. So this is the March of Return where they have promised. They have promised the Palestinians and to make this march to Jerusalem. So now they have gone to the border. They've gone to the fences. They've had weapons. They've had wire cutters. They've had all kinds of things. They want to storm Israel to do that. But I guess the bottom line is, Linda, we knew what Israel was going to do. Like I said, we've reported on this. It's not the first time. So I'm not surprised with the bloodshed.
No, I'm not surprised either. And what you said is exactly right. They were warned that this would happen. They were asked to stay away. They were given ample warning about what would happen if they did not. And this is the choice that they made. So, you know, I mean, it's a terrible human disaster to have this many people killed and injured. But these are choices that these people have made for themselves. And probably because the reason is that they are brought up in this hatred towards Israel, and it's really all that they can see. And I don't think, Malcolm, that it's a kind of hatred that you and I can understand.
Mm-hmm. Their choice is to become martyrs. Their choice is to become human shields. Now, some of the young people may not realize, the ramifications of this. But again, it's a mindset. It's the twisting of ideologies and thoughts that are put forth here. Anyways, we will jump more into this on Nozzle today, as well as I want to cover some comments that Turkey comes out, Erdogan, and has some things to say and others. And of course, Senator Dianne Feinstein and other Democrats are outspoken about this. Again, people, you're going to hear a lot of stories today about this. Very few of them probably will be true. I don't think this has anything to do to point blame at the president. I don't think Trump has a darn thing to do. This battle goes back thousands of years, as we've already laid out here for you. But it's a deeper story than this. And again, if we're worried about human life, then you don't use your people as human shields on the border. That's number one. And number two, you don't go ahead and try to destroy this and push into this country to go do something because they wanted to unsettle this whole embassy opening. Again, it's really a sad state of affairs, and we can talk peace all day long, people, but you got to have willing people at the table to be able to have peace, or it's just a fairy tale. That's the bottom line. Also in the news today on Nozzle, the United States Supreme Court rules the federal ban on sports gambling is unconstitutional. That's a pretty big decision. They should have stayed out of it to begin with, but at least they did the right thing now. And so now the power will go back to the states where it belongs. We'll talk about this, and it ties into New Jersey, actually, and some of the previous maneuvering that Governor Chris Christie had done up there. We'll touch on that. Again, senators are facing choices now with Gina Haspel, the CIA nominee. It is getting more and more interesting. It looks like she, from what we can see here, of course, it's not final. It appears to be the votes to put her over the top, unless something else should happen, that she should be the next CIA director. And as we've covered on this platform before, rightfully so, very clearly. There's a lot more stories out here, friends. There's a very interesting story with the Daily Caller and this Evinati I want to share with you as well. Corey Lewandowski is in the news, working with the Pence campaign. Very, very interesting. What's going on with these keyless cars? Very interesting, with a really interesting report out with the carbon monoxide toll that is happening with these keyless. You know, the cars you get in, you just push the button now. You don't no longer need the key. Of course, that's the way it is. We're all becoming automated in our lives, aren't we? Also seeing reports today, of course, surprisingly enough, Melania Trump has just reported he has had surgery. And this was kept a little quiet, a little private. But she is going to be in the hospital for a week, and she has a kidney condition. And it's benign, but she'll be hospitalized for the week. And this is new information that really wasn't released much before now. So we'll touch on that as well. At the top of nozzle here, let's do some introductions here. Dr. Ron Martinelli is here, and Linda Martinelli. And the reason they share the same last name is because they happen to be married, coincidentally. So they are also the couple and the host of Talkin' While Married, and it is a phenomenal, phenomenal new show. We're hearing so many wonderful things about it. It plays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio. So let's move into this conversation a little bit here. Dr. Ron Martinelli, give folks a bit about your background, please.
I'm a forensic criminologist in private practice. I manage the nation's only death investigations forensic team, and I'm a rancher in Texas.
Yeah.
And I'm married to the beautiful Linda Martinelli.
You two are like the original love story, if there ever was one. It's right here. People should be envious of this. Yeah. So as Linda blushes there on the other line, go ahead, Linda.
If I was French, I would say Linda is delicious.
There you go. That's how they say it, right? All right, Linda, go ahead. Give us your background, please. Besides being the wife of Dr. Ron, you have your own success story.
I do. I am the owner and president of Performa Graphic Printsource, which is a marketing and branding company located in California, and just enjoy that so much. And Ron and I are the co-owners also of ETC Forensic, which is a new forensic training company that's up and coming. So we will talk more about that soon. It is not launched yet, but we'll be soon. And
yeah, I'm anxious to find out more about that.
Yes.
As well, also later on, when we get into the sports gambling conversation, I'm very curious to ask you how that relates to bull riding, because I know you all are so, we'll talk about that after, but I know you two are just so passionate about bull riding, and I'm fascinated with the whole thing about bull riding. I honestly don't know a lot about it, but I'm going to get to one of these programs with you guys. I don't know really what you. I'm pretty naive here when it comes to that sport. I guess, is it a sport, guys? I don't know. First of all, what do you
call
it?
Sure, it is.
An extreme sport.
We'll get you all duded up, Malcolm.
Yeah, I'm all duded up. We'll cowboy up this guy.
What a photograph that will be, friends. We'll share that photograph with you when it happens. More nozzle in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Whether that embassy had moved today or not would have not changed what had happened today, I assure you. It has not a single thing to do with anything. The March of Return was going to happen regardless. I mean, Hamas has come out and already said what this was all about and what they wanted this to be. This is something they do on an annual basis, and it coordinates with Israel's Independence Day. So there are a lot of moving pieces here with all of this story. And so it has less to do with the embassy. I just think the embassy move is convenient. It's convenient to point fingers. Turkey's foreign minister comes out and says, "We curse the massacre carried out by Israeli security forces." But what do they expect them to do, Linda? I mean, the idea is to just open up the fence and let them walk into a country and let them start all kinds of shenanigans there and bloodshed there in Israel? I mean, is that the alternative that these people are looking for, you think?
Well, that is the alternative, and it also suits their narrative. And it suits everybody's narrative that says that this Trump has anything to do with this. So we did what we committed to do, and we gave everybody fair timing, fair warning, and they chose to do what they did. So, you can't blame President Trump. although people will, and it makes it convenient. But this applies to everything, Malcolm. You, no matter what the situation is, we can't look at what might happen and what somebody might do and what somebody might choose to, you know, do against the warnings that they were given. We just need to go forward and do the things that we say that we're going to do. And people have made the choices that they made, is the way that I look at it.
I want to talk about the warnings a second, Linda, too, because, you know, interesting you mentioned that. And let me tell folks now, Israel went to the point of dropping leaflets throughout the area. They are warning them not to do it and that their life was at risk to back off of that area. I mean, they did everything they could, precautionary steps they took, Linda, to make that happen, right?
Well, they did. And by the way, that, I mean, they often do that. So, again, people have made their own choices, Malcolm, but you can extrapolate this to a lot of different situations where we have to make a choice and we have to move America forward and do the things that we need to do and do the right things along the way. But the choices that people make around that are their choices. And we're always going to be blaming Trump for it. And I just am not buying into it. And I don't think most Americans are buying into it.
Well,
now, the Middle East may buy into it because, you know, they choose to hate him. But you're right. Some will and some won't.
Some will, some won't. But, you know, I got to tell you, in a lot of ways, he's a rock star out there as well. I mean, the certainly Israelis and a lot of people in the Middle East. You see, that's part of the brilliance of Trump, actually, Ron, is that with him creating the relationships in the Middle East with Saudi Arabia and Egypt and others, it really has made this more interesting, the possibilities of what could happen with some of this. Feinstein, Senator Feinstein of California, comes out and she says the location of the embassy is a final status issue that should have been resolved as part of peace negotiations where both sides benefit, not just one, she says. Israel will only know true security when it is at peace with its neighbors. You know, Ron, I have to tell you, this statement that the senator from California makes makes no sense at all, because they've been trying to do this for decades. Every president has tried to have the peace negotiations and to benefit both sides and all of this with the embassy on the side, and it has never happened. So how does she think somehow putting a blanketed statement out there is going to make a difference anyways, Dr. Ron? It's not going to matter at all.
Well, no, you're exactly right. And Dianne Feinstein doesn't know much about anything. Okay, she's had zero involvement with Middle Eastern policy. She's one of those people that sit back and in the comfort of her armchair and criticize from afar, while people like our diplomats and President Trump and Mike Pompeo and Jared Kushner have been working day and night to try to resolve this issue. The other presidents kicked this can down the road, like we've all said, you know, going back to the 1995 Accord. Nobody wanted to touch on this issue because they were looking for a final peace accord, and they never did get it. So for 22 years, they've just let this thing fester, and now we have a president of the United States that demonstrates to the world that he's a man of his word. And I like the guy a lot because he's a common sense guy. He's a little bit bombastic. Some people, he's one of those personalities where either you like him or you hate him, and I happen to really like this guy. And I'm willing to look past some of those other things to move America forward. I think Linda put her finger right on it. And I'll tell you what, we travel internationally, and with educated, informed people, they love this president in Mexico and in other countries. They love this guy because they know if he says he's going to do something, he does it. And that's what scares the other side.
Right. Right. Well, when you're a man of your word, that goes a long way. And in the Arab world, that means a lot, Ron. That means a lot. You don't see that a lot with politicians ever. I mean, it hardly ever exists, and you certainly haven't seen it with previous presidents. So clearly, that's a big deal. And that's where this president shines.
Yeah, you know, it's a paradigm shift for them,
exactly.
For people in Europe and especially people in the Middle East. And I think the Koreans are seeing this. Okay, what do you do with a guy that is not a politician? He's a very common sense person. He's a businessman. He's extremely astute, and he's a good negotiator. They don't know what to do with him.
You know, you mentioned that. That's interesting. When you look at the ramifications of this and you think about, okay, how far and wide does this go? When you mentioned North Korea, Ron, just a moment ago here.
Right.
Everybody is paying attention to what's happening. So if you think this is significant or not, let me tell you why. And here's the real benefit of this, of what happens with this embassy move. And I'll tell you what it is. It's what we're talking about right now. It's the fact that this man is of his word and that he does what he says. He says what he does. He backs up his word. That's a big attribute, people. You don't get in politics anymore. And you don't get it in a lot of places. And I have to tell you, everybody's paying attention because of this. Because now when this man is talking and these things are happening, back to the old adage, Ron, peace through strength, peace through strength. You know, if it's not just bluster and you're going to believe the president, whoever it is, then you've got to have a solid word. You've got to be able to back up that word with actions. So don't think for a moment North Korea is watching this. China is watching this. Russia is watching this. They're all watching this. Everybody's watching this.
You know, I agree with you entirely. Yeah. And, you know, we've completely rebuilt Europe, for God's sakes, right? And we are constantly getting slapped by Europe. You know, some of these European leaders would sleep with anybody, okay? And right now they're sleeping with Iran, you know, the country that is creating the most instability in the Middle East and the real threat to peace worldwide, besides North Korea.
Yeah, you know, you say they sleep with anyone. Ron, that's an interesting way to put it, brother, because I want to tell you this. Angela Merkel, the Germany chancellor, comes out just this past week here, and she, you know, she come out and said some pretty strong things that, well, Europe can't count on the United States anymore. I reported on this just the other day on Viewpoint, actually, that they can't count on the United States anymore for their own security and peace. Well, let me tell you, number one, you should be standing up for your own self to begin with, number one. I mean, we're not your babysitters. I mean, I say that. Maybe that doesn't come across quite right, but you know what I'm saying, people. I mean, it's not our job to babysit them entirely out there. I mean, as you just said, Ron, we've rebuilt the entire structure out there. We've put, not just rebuilt, I mean, the bloodshed in the salvation of Europe. And you know, what do? They create a union. They open up their borders. They let, you know, the lunatics in and the crazy people. And now you've got massacre all over the place in Europe as Europe is floundering right now.
And we still have lots of people over there, lots of our service people in Germany. So, I feel like, how dare she say that when
exactly.
we are over there
exactly.
protecting them?
Well, I thought she had a lot of nerve saying that, Linda. A lot
of
nerve.
Yeah, you know, these people, if it wasn't for Great Britain and the United States, these people would all, in Europe, would all either be speaking what? German or later, Russian.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And you wouldn't even have had a Germany anymore. You would have had an increased Soviet Union if it had not been for the United States. Okay? And this is all about money. Okay? This is about global politics, and this is all about money. And I'll tell you what, we can certainly, if we needed to, put the squeeze in a few economic areas in Europe. We don't want to do that. We want to work with everybody. But they are so unstable, and that euro is so unstable. And that's why the Brits got out of it, because they saw it coming. Nice. You can't prop up these countries like Greece and Spain and things like this. This is an unstable area, and the United States, with its strength, brings stability to that region.
And the truth is that when we travel to Europe, even the people on the street there will say to you that, you know, if things are going well in the United States, they're going better for them in Europe.
You're right.
And if they're not going well in the United States, then they're mad at us. And they will tell you that how it goes in the U.S., so it goes in Europe. So we are so hugely important to their economy in so many ways that they don't want to say out loud, but we are very, very important to their economy. So,
yeah.
You know, when you were talking about President Trump doing the things that he says he's going to do, the other thing that he does is he doesn't let any grass grow under his feet when he does them. Well, he just says he's going to do something and bam, it's done. And I love that, because everybody else just kind of twiddles their thumbs for a few years.
Well, they procrastinate. Procrastination is a big problem. You're so right, Linda. I mean, empty promises, time after time after time. And it just becomes one after the next, which is why a lot of people turn all this stuff off, Linda, because They're not paying attention. It's like right now, how many people do you think in our country, in America right now, Linda, are really, you know, they hear the story so often about the Middle East and about Israel and about what goes on out there. How many people really do you think are following all the nuances here of the lead story of what we're talking about today?
Oh, Malcolm, very, very few. And, you know, that just brings to mind that this past weekend or past week, Ron and I had guests come in, and we had several people here. And, you know, one of the things that they did while they were here was listen to our new show. And that's not to give it a plug, but the thing that they said that was so interesting is, I didn't even know all of these things that you guys are talking about, because we don't want to take the time to follow it, because the news is always bad. So we just
Isn't
tune it out anymore.
Isn't that
and
the truth?
And the thing is to talk about it, you know, I mean, you have to pay attention. It takes some effort now to get all these different stories, because there's so many different stories about every story has everybody's, you know, take on it, and they're all different. It's tiring.
And you know
the
what
news
they
isn't
don't
reporting
like.
The news properly.
Yeah, and what they shared with us is something I firmly believe, and it's so nice to hear other people say the same thing. We are so tired of having the mainstream media talk down to us and tell us what we should be thinking, and this whole issue of culture think, which we could have a whole separate program about.
Right.
But, you know, you're absolutely right, Malcolm. There's not a lot of people that really care about this, but because they don't have the right context and they just don't know what to believe on the media anymore.
No, they don't.
Well, and that's it. They don't know what to believe, so they just kind of shut themselves off and tune out.
Yeah. Well, they do. That's exactly it right there. They tune it out. And then it becomes very sad, because then not only are they uninformed, but then it gives more power to the people at the top, the politicians, to push their weight around, you see, and do the things that we don't want them to do. And so our whole mode here is to get people involved. I really appreciate, you know, you both of you are a fantastic role model for all of us as people, as relationships and couples, because it is about being informed. And you're both, in fact, very well informed, two of the most informed people when it comes to all kinds of things that are going out there. And we're not just talking politics news, but we're talking social, cultural affairs, good news stories, things that are really, truly happening out there that we need to be aware of, that people need to be conscious of. There are a lot of good stories out there to talk about, and we try to do that right here, bring them to you as well. So, well, we will see what happens. In a program note I want to give you all about this Middle East, this is a big deal. It impacts everybody, impacts all of you out there, because there's a whole a force here that will play out with this thing, people, including a disruption of, you know, the mindset of energy and how that all plays from this vantage point of the Middle East. So you all need to pay attention to what's really happening there and understand that world politics, it has a trickle-down effect. It's going to affect all of us to one way, shape, form, or another. Program note on this, we've moved our program around that tomorrow on Nozzle. We will have Ilana Friedman, our intelligence analyst here, who's been all over the story, and she'll be on tomorrow's program with us to dive a bit deeper into all of this of what's happened. So look forward to that tomorrow, friends, on the show. I want to talk to you guys next about the big decision today from the Supreme Court, where they have ruled the federal ban on sports gambling is, well, like, duh, unconstitutional. A lot of the stuff is unconstitutional, but then you ask them, why do they do it? Well, they do it because they think they're going to control your life, and it's all about the power I always talk to you people about out there that these people seek in high office. Well, it was a 7-2 decision that the High Court ruled that, again, that Congress, get a load of this, people, overstepped its authority. I love it when they get slapped down by the Supreme Court. Don't you just love those words?
Yes.
Congress overstepped its authority in 1992 by banning states that did not already allow sports gambling from entering this business, which is, by the way, a very lucrative business. Now, let me read you this comment that Justice Samuel Alito came out with. He said, just as Congress lacks the power to order a state legislature not to enact a law authorizing sports gambling, it may not order a state legislature to refrain from enacting a law licensing sports gambling. And that was in his 31-page opinion. He wrote for the majority on that. 7-2 is a pretty good number here, Ron. You don't see a lot of those like that.
That's a strong opinion.
That's a strong opinion. And how do you think this changes? And I've been dying to ask you and Linda. Does bull riding have? Do people bet and stuff? You do that there, don't they? In bull riding, or don't they?
No, they don't bet. They don't bet out in front. But of course, you know, in places like Las Vegas and Atlantic City, New Jersey, and in all these other casinos, you can do something like off track betting, and you can basically bet on anything, right?
Exactly.
Organized.
Well, you always say that bull riding is a family affair.
It definitely is.
Yeah. Very interesting. And you guys have been involved in that. I mentioned that just to give a plug to the whole industry, because I'm fascinated that you both are so involved in it. But you really enjoy it, don't you?
Well, we absolutely enjoy it.
And this is all Linda's fault.
again.
Yeah, but you know what? You know how it's turned out is right. That we're the 2016 World Futurity Bucking Bull Champions, right? So we couldn't be more proud than walking around with that gold buckle that I.
Who are you guys? Are you both are?
Every once in a while. Oh yeah, we took it all in Vegas. We took every bit of it.
When was this run? When did that happen?
2016.
Wow, no kidding.
Are we even still allowed in Las Vegas?
I didn't realize. So we're talking to two famous celebrities here in the bull riding world then. My God. Yeah,
and this year we have three bulls. Three of our bulls are in PBR, in the professional bull riding circuit. And so we're really proud of that. And I mean, you could really go your whole career and never get that.
Check it out. I got to check it out more. I definitely have got to get to one of these forums, and I've never been to one in my life, but I'm anxious to do it, actually.
I'll tell you what you'll never see at bull riding, Malcolm, is you will never see those guys taking a knee.
Yeah. Okay.
And you will see nothing but American patriotism.
Well, it's like NASCAR, the same thing. They're very patriotic, very American kind of people. They don't do the knee there either, right, guys? I mean,
It's just an amazing sport. Is the fastest growing sport in the United States.
Wow.
They pray for the riders. They pray for the livestock.
Wow.
No livestock, despite what some people think, no livestock are ever injured. And that's because they're prime stock. Okay, they're worth a lot of money, so nobody's going to hurt those bulls. We support our first responders and law enforcement and the military.
Exactly.
Like Linda says, nobody takes a knee.
Right.
You'll never see a drunk person
at
an event. And it's just absolutely a wonderful family event. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, again, I will get there at one point, and I'm anxious to check it out. Now, the one thing I won't do, I'm going to tell you both and qualify it up front when I'm there as your guest here. I am not going to ride the bull, though. You know that.
Hey,
hold my beer while I do this. I'm going to get him up on the bull.
No.
Boy, that would be quite the photograph.
We have a healthy respect for the power of those animals.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what there. Yeah. Well, listen, back to this U.S. Supreme Court. I really was looking forward to actually talking to you guys about this, so I'm glad we had the few moments to do it. It seemed like with the sports gambling thing. Now, listen, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, all of the sports, this is a big deal to these guys now, and by repealing this, it's actually called the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, PASPA. Now, this changes the Supreme Court. This will open the door to legalized sports betting. Now, you know what this does, guys. This creates now a major coup for tax revenue. You understand that?
Tax revenue. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, we get that.
Right? I mean, everybody needs to understand. And by the way, this all stemmed from New Jersey. They had brought a case in July 2017 that, and by the way, they're expected to be the first state to take advantage of the ruling to allow sports gambling at the Atlantic City casinos and the racetracks and so on and so forth in New Jersey. Anyways, I find it very interesting, and I think the tax revenues could be quite significant for some of these states, guys.
Well, I'm wondering about the, the organized crime, too. Is that
I'm worried about the bookies.
Exactly.
Yeah, second.
About them.
What happens? Well, what? Tell me. What? When you say that,
well,
Linda,
I don't know.
What do you mean?
I guess we'd have to read the law to find out where you can gamble and how you can gamble.
Well, again, each state has to adopt whatever they're going to do, Ron. It's not, you know, okay. They just said, in other words, the federal government didn't make new rules. They just said it's not theirs to do. It's got to be pushed it down to the state, you know?
Okay.
It's unlawful
for them to. I agree with that. The state should handle as much as they can possibly handle with the federal government staying out of it.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen, let's change gears. I want to talk to you about Gina Haspel a moment here. So it looks like, from what we can see, there's an update on some of this I want to tell folks about here. We still have, you know, again, a couple of senators that are still not sure they're going to play here. Obviously, Rand Paul, we know, is always a question mark, and he's come out and said he won't support her. Senator Jeff Flake, who's every day that goes by, he gets more and more flakier as it goes here, quite frankly. And Lisa Murkowski as well. You know, these are people that are in question. But Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat, and also I believe there's another one in here, Joe Donnelly. Yes, Senator Joe Donnelly, Indiana Democrat. They have said they're going to support her nomination. And there seems to be more Democrats now that will support her, even though people like Feinstein and others have come out against her. But again, they seem to come out against everything these days as basically just wanting to obstruct however they can obstruct, you know. So what do you think about this, Dr. Ron, with Gina Haspel? In fact, we had here, if you all heard, a really great segment with Dr. James Mitchell, who was the enhanced interrogation author and a man who knows this topic real well, knows Gina Haspel real well and the CIA entirely. He was on Viewpoint this Sunday. If you didn't hear that interview, it's definitely worth hearing. You'll catch that back at America Out Loud right there. What do you think about Gina Haspel being the new CIA director, Ron?
Well, you know, I deal with security and intelligence issues from time to time in my work, and I have to tell you that I don't think there's anybody that's ever been more qualified to get into that position than Gina Haspel.
That's what Dr. Mitchell says.
She's what we call an operator, okay? She was a ground pounder. She was an operator. She's been a station chief. And just very succinctly about this whole interrogation thing, the rules were different back then. Okay, they were different and they were approved, and she stayed within the lines and she did what she was ordered to do that Congress voted on and approved. Okay, that's important. And for these hypocrites to come back after they've changed the rule and she's already said that she would abide by the new rules, and to tear her up and basically stab her in the back when she was trying to defend this country is hypocritical. Right. I would tell you what, you take any of those people and you give them the hypothesis that their child was kidnapped and was going to be killed, and five people had her and one person was captured, and that's the only person that knows the secret on how to save your daughter, and what would they do? Come on, you've got to be kidding me. They'd waterboard that last suspect, every single one of them.
If it was their, you're right when you say that. If it was their relative, their something that was near and dear to them. You know, on Dr. Ron's point here, Linda, as we take a look at this, Gina Haspel here, I want to tell you one of the big things that came out of the Senate confirmations last week was about the morality, her moral compass, and a lot of politicians are taking a very high road about morality. All of a sudden, moral ethics are important to politicians. That's mind-blowing when you hear that, people, that there's no morality in everything else they do in Washington, Linda, but God forbid, when it counts for something where they can get some political points for themselves, it becomes a big conversation about morality. And, you know, here's the point: when these terrorists and these evil Satanist kind of people, do they consider any kind of morality when they cut people's heads off and when they destroy people around the globe and when they kill Christians by the thousands? Is there any morality there, I wonder? But yet we're going to have to take a high road of a morality. Give me a break.
Well, and waterboarding to me is not the kind of torture. I mean, there's certainly different levels of torture if you look around the world and see what you just mentioned, right? When they put this man in a cage and they light him on fire, we're not doing those types of things. But the information that we need to keep our people safe, to prevent those types of things, sometimes things need to get a little bit dirty out there. And
the CIA knows that, Linda. The CIA definitely knows that. You better believe it.
All of these people that we're talking about, John McCain and Rand Paul, all of these people, mm-hmm. I would bet you that not one of them thinks that this woman is not just so qualified for her position. But this again, it gets back to politics. We're talking politics here.
Yeah.
So they're not doing this because she's not qualified. They're doing it to make a statement against President Trump. And the same thing with the Democrats. So many of these people know that she's just more than qualified for this job, that she should have the job. And they are doing this. It has nothing to do with her qualifications, which it should have everything to do with.
Well, that's what the whole confirmation process is for, is the qualifications, not the morality of the fact that, you know, and again, it was legal when it happened anyways. And quite frankly, the last point on this is this, people, you know, when it comes to any kind of morality, again, you know, back to what Dr. Ron had said moments ago, it could be, you know, what if it was their child or their sibling or somebody, their parents or somebody in their family, well, then, of course, the rules change. Maybe it matters at that point. You know, friends, I will tell you that, you know, the whole thing about how much is too much, whether it's waterboarding or interrogation, go back and listen to that conversation we just had with Dr. James Mitchell, who, again, wrote the book on enhanced interrogation, who created the program with the CIA. Just talk to him. He was just on Viewpoint this Sunday. You'll catch him. It's on podcast now. You can get it right off of Apple or Google or any of the sites or right at AmericaOutloud.com. But it is definitely a talk you'll want to hear, and you'll hear what he says about this and why it's important, because I ask him straight out, is this something we should be doing in the future? And quite frankly, you know, the old saying, you sometimes have to fight fire with fire, people. If you're going to play with big boys and big people, you got to put your big pants on as well to be able to do that. And you know what? You know, whether waterboarding is the right thing or not, or people in cages or what have you, if you're going to come after us and try to kill Christians and kill people by the thousands here, my morality is anything goes. Anything goes. More nozzle in just a moment, friends.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Very interesting story that you probably won't hear about, but I find very fascinating. I want to bring out and talk to you about right now, and I'm not sure that Dr. Ron and Linda have even heard about this story.
He's the attorney, right?
This is the attorney for the porn queen there, right. Miss Daniels,
right.
Yeah. All right, so listen to this story now. So he goes ahead and he threatens the Daily Caller. Now, everybody knows the Daily Caller, right? The News Foundation.
Yes, right.
The DCNF, yeah. And so he threatened to sue the reporters, not only the reporters and the Daily Caller as a whole, but he threatened to sue them personally. And he's claiming that his uninvited email was off record, even though the Daily Call, you know, a lot of these cats do that. They want to say things off record when it gets a little hot in the kitchen. Oh, that was off record. It doesn't work that way, people. It's never off record. You don't talk to the Daily Caller any more than you talk to the New York Times and say, oh, everything I just told you. I mean, and it never happened here. So what happened is... he goes on and says, let me be clear. This is Avenatti now speaking. If you and your colleagues do not stop with the hit pieces that are full of lies and defamatory statements, I will have no choice but to sue each of you and your publication for defamation. Now, he wrote this in an email to the Daily Caller folks here. And what's interesting about this is they just ran a story on this. And the story was very straightforward. You know, about this, about Avenatti. I mean, and the story was in your kind of face here about some things. Evidently, he had a shady past, and he has done some things. Go figure. Avenatti has a shady past, if you can imagine that. And he goes on, he says, if you think I'm kidding, you really don't know anything about me. This guy comes across as a bully, Ron.
He does. A total bully. I agree.
Yeah, he's got a lot of problems, you know. He's been sanctioned. He's got a lot of tax problems, and what I'm trying to follow, but there more information is needed. You've been catching all this money, this thing about how he's getting funded, right? Have you been catching that, right?
Right. Yes.
Well, they're going to get to the bottom of that, and what do you want to bet that some of that DNC money is wrapped up in that?
Wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah. Very, very, it would be interesting. It's a very complex story here. It's too much to get into, but the point is, this guy is a bully, this Avenatti guy. Now he's bullying. He doesn't want any bad, listen, he's really good at wanting to get bad news stories about out there about the president of the United States. He's really good at that. But God forbid somebody wants to turn the table and write a story about him, because now he's made himself a public figure. And all of a sudden he wants to threaten lawsuits to everybody. I don't think it works that way, Linda. I think can't have it.
And he just made a threat against Trump and Trump's lawyer to bring information out. So I was wondering, and I was going to try to look up the article today to see where he is getting this information about what is in President Trump's lawyer's personal files that he says that he seems to know.
Right.
So how?
Right. He's made it his business to get as involved in the process as he can. He's made it his business. And why he does that? Because it's publicity. It's publicity for him. He is, you know what, guys? He really is the original pimp.
Well, he is. And I read that he made millions of dollars from MSNBC and CNN just recently on all of his appearance. So this guy he's in this for the money.
Well,
and he's getting big bucks for it.
In the story of the Daily Caller, they came out and made this statement, Linda. They said Avenatti's past is littered with lawsuits, jilted business partners, and bankruptcy filings. People who have worked with the lawyer described him to the Daily Caller as ruthless, greedy, and unbothered by ethical questions. And then there was this whole story the Daily Caller goes on to say about some coffee guy, Delano's coffee CEO. There were some tweets put out that he owed him $160,000 and he never paid him, and so on and so forth. And then the tweets were removed afterward, and the Delano's was questioned, and he said he removed them. Anyways, it gets really, really complicated after that. But the point is that, you know, you got to be careful, people, if you're going to want to get on the national stage and you want to go after the president of the United States, whoever you are, and you don't want people to talk about who you are and what you did in your life. I think that just doesn't fly that way, Ron. I think everything is open season on this guy.
Well, no, I agree with you. I think if you put yourself out there, you've got to, first of all, you got to vet yourself to make sure that you can handle whatever abuse or investigations that are going to come your way, or just, you know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Get out of the kitchen, yeah. Also, I want to tell you about Corey Lewandowski I'd mentioned earlier. He is, of course, everybody knows the famed Lewandowski. Him and Bussy have that book out, but of course he helped Donald Trump win the Republican nomination, Lewandowski did, and he's getting back into the campaign game, and this is how it works now. So Vice President Pence has a political action committee. Again, everybody's getting ready now for the midterms. And, you know, 2020 will be right behind it, people. You blink an eye and you'll miss it all, believe me. Now, this pack here will enable him to travel with Pence and puts him back in the president's 2020 reelection orbit, is what they're suggesting here. And so he is really, really interested in, pushing this, getting involved more back into the campaign. I'm not surprised by this at all, guys, because he was so instrumental in and passionate and actually a very good spokesman for Trump, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. I think he's a bright guy. And I think he got a little bit screwed over, but I'd like to see him get back in there.
Yeah. I think you're seeing that now. And by the way, this great action committee They say here is the first such political arm created by a sit-in vice president. Just a footnote for you there. But can only be used to donate to other campaigns and not to back any future Pence efforts. So it's not about Pence. It's about other campaign efforts, specifically the future of the Trump administration, obviously very, very clearly here. Very interesting story, you guys. I want to fill people in so you're aware of the dangers of this. Every so often, the New York Times does something good. Not a lot, but every so often. And this was one of the ones with a column they put out about the, it's called Deadly Convenience, it's called. Keyless cars and their carbon monoxide toll. And so I want to read you this here, opening here. On a summer morning last year, Fred Schaub drove his Toyota RAV into the garage attached to his Florida home. Happened somewhere in the state of Florida. He went into the house with the key fob thinking it was off, because this is what people do. You know, he had the key in his hand thinking the car was off. And so 29 hours later, he was found dead, overcome with carbon monoxide. And you hear some of these stories, and you scratch your head. The son came out later and said, after 75 years of driving, my father thought that when he took the key with him, when he left the car, well, the car would be off, because it was quiet. You didn't hear it clearly. Now, the story goes on, and that since just the last 10 years or so, there have been more than two dozen people have been killed by these keyless fob entries and have been murdered by this carbon monoxide. This is a big problem. Now, keyless ignitions are now standard in over half of the 17 million new vehicles sold. And there's a whole movement behind this, which I know you guys will appreciate here. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration they've proposed a federal regulation based on the idea that a software change has to happen that shuts this thing off automatically if the car's not, you know, if it's just idling or something else, so that you don't have a carbon. In other words, there's got to be a safety precautionary measure in there that people aren't dying from carbon monoxide. Now, that just makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
I mean,
well, it does. And our daughter-in-law has one of those cars, and you're right. You know, you can't hear it, and then I actually did think, until you just said so, that when if you take the key away from the vehicle, you know, far enough, that the vehicle would stop. In fact, my daughter-in-law told me that the car stops and restarts, you know, if you're sitting at a light or something. So I didn't know that, and I did not know that happened. And you know what? I don't like those cars anyway.
You don't?
You know, I'm kind of old school. I don't like the keyless entry. I don't know why they do it, except it costs a lot of money if you lose one, right? And you try to update it and reprogram it. But I'm a old dog. I like to have a nice physical key in my hand. And when I pull that key out of the ignition, I know that car is shut off.
Right. Well, everything today is about automation and convenience, and clearly convenience comes sometimes at a cost. Of course, you don't want to pay with your life, obviously. Clearly, this is the kind of regulation you probably need. But it's just like those airbags a while back that were going off while cars were driving. The people were dying from that. There are some things where you need protective measures, because you can't have, you know, capitalism isn't about people going crazy and killing people. That's not the point of this. That's where you do need some sort of oversight. I think we'd all would agree with that. Less is more, but there are times when you need it. And this is clearly one of those times, you know.
Well, what about kids with that car, too? Let's say you had a grandchild in the house that, you know, went out there. I mean, not just the car. Carbon monoxide, but they could get in the car and, you know, make it go.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without a key. So, yeah.
And these keyless ignitions are now a big deal. Again, over half of the cars have them in there. I mean, that's a lot. Over half of the 17 million new vehicles sold annually are this keyless ignition. So clearly they're going to need something to do this. Hey, listen, also, I'd mentioned to you at the top here that Melania Trump here had a surgery for a benign kidney condition. She's expected to be just fine. The thing about this story is that it was nobody really said anything about anything until it happened. But that's probably in public life what they do intentionally, folks. Sometimes they don't tell you till you really need to know. But she'll remain in the hospital for a week for this, and it seems to be she'll be okay with this. That's another trending story this afternoon, folks. And also, I want to mention to you that Margot Kidder, the Superman Lois Lane, you remember Lois Lane?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
She died.
Well, yeah, I was surprised to see that.
69 years old, young lady.
Yeah, but she had some mental health issues, and I think she had some drug issues as well.
Is that right, Dr. Ron?
In her past, I think she had some mental health issues.
You know, a lot of people in Hollywood fame end up that road, don't they? You know.
Well, they do, and then also today, Harry Reid had surgery for pancreatic cancer.
He did. Thanks for mentioning that, Lynn. That was the other story there. Harry Reid, the former Senate president there, he is had some surgery as well. Pancreatic cancer, is it right, Linda? That's what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Yeah, yeah. So I did see that story on The Wire today as well. Well, listen, friends, before I get into Monday motivation and I get Dr. Ron and Linda to give you their predictions for the day here, let me just remind everybody again that... listen, on the platform here, Nozzle is heard every day, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is this news program here. It's a different kind of news program. It's our version of the 6 o'clock news. It's where we stay with what we call the out loud truth. But it's where we get the actions of real people who understand the news. And so we don't fabricate the stories and try to give you all the shady deals that they do out there in the mainstream media, clearly. We report it to you the way it needs to be. And you decide yourself where you need to go with it, friends. So again, 6 o'clock, the encore is at 10 every evening, Monday through Friday, is this show. And again, join us for our biggest show and success has been Viewpoint this Sunday. You'll hear that every Sunday on the network. It is a great, great production. With national voices you'll hear all the time with the news. You can hear right on the radio at your leisure. It's a little different than the Meet the Press, the Face the Nation, that sort of thing. The point is we use real news and not the fake kind of stuff, so you'll enjoy that part of the show at least as well. And so catch those shows. Also, again, I mentioned to you, Dr. Ron has, in fact, his show you did, that show you just did last week with Brillo, I heard a lot of comments that people really enjoyed that show. A Threat of Evidence is at 9 p.m. in the evenings. You'll have that, hear that with Dr. Ron Martinelli. And this last one he did is fascinating as hell. You need to hear it. It was a famous, famous case that happened a couple of years back, I believe, Ron. Famous case, and again, the guys are always delivering some really interesting insight on that show as well. Listen, Monday motivation, hashtag Monday motivation. Scott says, Trump is the only president who actually kept his promise of moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Well, we know that to be true. Jersey Girl says, I hope everyone is having a great afternoon, but I have to say, MAGA or not, if you put me on a list, I'm blocking you. I love these kind of messages. One of our own buddies here and allies, Kevin W., who's a big Twitter guy, says, Mr. President, at Real Donald Trump, it is a great day in Israel. The people are celebrating around the world. If I could ask for one more promise kept, indict Hillary Clinton. Let the world know that pay-for-play politics is over. Woo. He's saying what he really thinks here. That's the power of social media, isn't it? I'll leave you on a positive note. Beth says, once we accept our limits, we go beyond them. Those are the words of Albert Einstein. Always good stuff. All right, let's get to predictions here. Linda Martinelli, what is your prediction, please?
I'm predicting that... some more stuff is going to come out here about this Mueller investigation, and I don't think it's going to be on the side of Mueller. I think that this is getting ugly and that there's a lot more to be said here, and that we are going to find out that it's a witch hunt and that President Trump is going to just keep on doing what he's doing.
Yeah, it is definitely a weird kind of story with the special counsel and all. But all right, Dr. Ron, your prediction, please.
Following the fetching Linda Martinelli, I've got two predictions. Number one, I think they are going to be able to find that there was a mole in the Trump campaign. Further than that, I think they're going to be able to identify that person. And number two, I think Haskell's going to be our new CIA director.
All right, very good. Well, listen, two predictions myself, friends, and that is that the news, it doesn't have to always be bad. There are some good stories out there. You can make the, you know, and again, news is something, you make it your own, but don't let it run your life, people. Make sure you're listening to real people, deliver real information, and not a lot of the fake stuff out there very clearly. My other prediction, friends, is that we'll continue to do that here, and we'll be back here tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same time, same place. Nozzle off.